to walk out.
Tuning in, wake up, get crust out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like how do we get out this low estate. We let the script prophesy, we bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you, precept upon precept, line upon line, the script say with the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power. The what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power. Yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics, and Native. Power, power. It's the what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power. Yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics, and Native. Power, power. It's the what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power. Yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics, and Native. Power, power. It's the what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power. Yeah, yeah. Black, Hispanics, and Native.
And I am Captain Yahshua.
Officer Zacchaeus.
Shalom. Soldier Eric. Shalom. Most High Christ bless.
You threw the brother off, bro.
Hey, you know, I'm off balance.
What are you doing, bro?
I'm unbalanced right now.
Oh, man.
He just carried it out a little too
yeah,
much.
Okay. All right. He did.
A little reverb, you know.
Okay. All right. All praises to the Most High. Praise to the Most High. We back for another episode. All
right. That's right.
We had, what do we do? A replay last week?
Yes.
Okay. I know I've been off the show for a bit. Unbeknownst to a lot of people, I was battling some illness. So,
but you're back, though.
I'm back. Pneumonia. Yeah. I caught pneumonia. Took a hold of me pretty bad.
It's about 97%. You're back.
I'll say I'm maybe 90%.
Okay.
I'll say I'm 90%. Right. I gotta preface that because I don't know how much fire I'm gonna bring to the show. Like right. I don't know. I might be subdued today. I don't know.
Try to hold your hands up like Moses.
That's right. That's why I got y'all.
That's right.
You know, we got feet off each other that's with right. that stuff. So right. We gotta see how it goes. But yes, you know, I think I did the last show like the week before Tabernacles. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We did do a special edition in the wilderness.
In the wilderness.
That wasn't live. It was a long class. I know people get discouraged from watching a long class, but I implore y'all to watch it, man, because we had a panel of, leadership there. We had Bishop Yawasop, some of the captains. I think it's a very needful topic for the body. But, yeah, and then, you know, I got back, and I think I missed the first week because I was just busy catching up from being out in the wilderness. Man, and then I got.
School was closed, I think, right?
Yeah, we had then the school was closed because we had sickness in the body, and then. And then I got sick, bro.
Yep.
Like sicker than I've.
Yeah.
I allegedly had COVID late last year, and it wasn't as bad as what I was dealing with.
Wow.
And with this pneumonia, man.
Sometimes you just don't want to
even serious,
take...
bro.
Yeah.
And I had it in one lung and only part of the lung.
Ugh.
And it was that thing was brutal. Yo, it's like you know you hear about pneumonia.
Yeah.
And you're just like, damn, but how bad can it be? Oh, that thing.
Until you get it.
That thing is bad, bro. Yeah. Bro. I mean, I have like a hyper immune system, so my body goes to battle quick, bro.
Right.
Which sometimes is good. I usually am not down and out for too long.
Yeah.
Nah, this thing knocked me on my behind.
Wow.
Behind.
Knocked me off.
So, you know, and even after I got better, there was still some, you know, residual, wasn't even the pneumonia no more, just my body like still
right.
not trying to let go, like inflammation, yeah. all types of stuff. Yeah, yeah, man. So, but all praises to the Most High, you know, I remained faithful, yep. you know.
Bro, straight up,
can I tell you, like, I was giving my wife, like, instructions and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you know, like, you know, this is here, you know, life insurance is there. She's like, why are you saying that? I said, because I got to, see, women
right.
are being emotional.
Right.
I said, because I got to say it just yeah. in case. I said, well, if I freaking just croak right now, like,
right.
I got, Lord forbid, but.
In the middle of speech.
I said, I got to say yeah. this stuff, you
right.
know? I said, just, because. Afterwards, after you get through the trauma, you're gonna remember that I said this.
You're gonna
stuff.
Be like, oh,
yeah.
I didn't know it was possible.
Yeah, yeah. So, but
Most High preserved, you know.
Yep. So
all praises.
All praises to all Most High. I'm excited to be back. I've had a lot of ideas, and you know, we still have, I think, two more segments of the documentary of Harvest of Empire and some sections in the book. But my spirit was leading me somewhere different because, you know, I mean, I purchased books here and there, and not that you need books to do a radio show. I mean, I could do straight classes on this show and keep it scriptural. I mean, you know, those of you who sit with me here in Phoenix, you know, when I do classes and stuff like that, and, you know, we'll still be able to be edifying and be engaging. But, you know, for me, I like the show format because we get to be a little more conversational with it. You know, the fact that we offer up the opportunity for people to call in and and speak and dialogue and answer questions. And, you know, the show's ever evolving, so we're looking to do different things. And thank you, brothers and sisters. I see all y'all, you know, giving all praises to the Heavenly Father for my healing. I'm definitely grateful for it. But I like the show because, like I said, it's like you get to spend some time really kind of dissecting things and, you know, hey, let's go through this and whatnot. And then, you know, invariably we're talking about the stuff spiritually. So the scriptures play in everything that we're doing, you know.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Hey, I see Bishop Yawasop is on. Shalom, Bishop.
Shalom.
Christ
Shalom,
bless,
Bishop.
Sir. Christ
bless, Bishop.
As always, we appreciate the support for us. Couple of housekeeping things before we jump in. We had a little technical difficulties.
Not
come on, man. So that's why the show, I was here 20 minutes early to start on time.
Right.
And, you know, it didn't happen.
That's all you can say. Right?
Listen, IT is a tough office.
Gotta
and,
be.
And you got to take it. You just got to take it.
You got to eat it.
You got to take it.
Yeah.
IT is a tough office. And
those who take it.
I'm going to tell you something. No, no. In all sincerity, I mean, I'm still probably going to talk crap about them sometimes. But in all sincerity with IT, trust me, all of us know none of it is intentional. Mm-hmm. You guys are zealous for the office and you want these things to work. I know technical things happen. Today wasn't technical. I think it was just poor planning. That stuff wasn't ready. But... We're also in the midst of 30 days of camp out here in Phoenix.
That's right.
So I know that we're a little tight on personnel and getting things done because, you know, we're not a small camp, but we're not a large camp either. You know, probably somewhere in the middle, for our membership and men and stuff like that. So we're really, you know, we stayed out of the fray with 30 days of camp because, you know, you got to count the cost.
Count the cost.
And so now we're in a position where enough men have been called to be raised up, and but even then the schedule's still a little tight for us to get out there.
So you're praying for more laborers.
Yeah, so
that's right.
Yep, always praying for more laborers, getting the word out. And I think I was talking with Officer Issachar yesterday too, and he was saying we're already putting ourselves down for 30 days of camp next year.
That's
so
right.
You know, now we could get into fray, right? It was never a matter of not wanting to do it.
Right.
It's just don't start and not be able to finish
that's
it.
Right.
So you know, I commend the brothers that have been out there doing the 30 days of camp. I've been down and out of six, so I've yet to hit the street. I'm looking at the calendar. I said, damn, I got to try to get out there. It's almost over. I want to get out there with y'all a couple times at least.
Get you 95%. We'll get you.
Yeah, I'll see. I'll take it. You know, get out there. We had some technical difficulties. We started late. But I'm glad to be back. A couple housekeeping things. Let's not forget the Booster Club. Let me tell you, I'm having a meeting with some of the Northern Kingdom captains next month. We're going to lay out some of our itinerary for traveling. So support the booster club. All right, iuic.fundraising@israelunite.org. you see it up there. We're trying to do some different things. And listen, Booster Club doesn't just support the travel to these countries. When we get radio shows, TV spot opportunities that we can pay for, we those funds that you support for that help us do those type of things out there, you know. So we definitely have some good things on the horizon. I think, you know, several months back, almost the beginning of the year, we spoke about it on this show about how, you know, Northern Kingdom, the spirit's moving for us to really kind of step things up and get out there a little more. And that, by and large, had a lot to do with laborers as well. And now we got a lot of brothers and even sisters helping on the social media and back inside that have really been able to help us make these strides collectively to get the word out and do what we need to do. So, you know, support the Booster Club. All right. It's definitely needful. Also, call in if you'd like for questions or comments. 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. So, like I said, I was different topics and stuff in my mind. You know, I always have a plan of how I want this to go. We got to see how the dialogue goes. We got to see how the dialogue goes.
Take me the script, though.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, being that so-called Thanksgiving is next week, I'll probably do a Thanksgiving topic next Wednesday. All right? But then I'm going to jump. We're going to spend some weeks on what we're going to go over on here, right? So we're going to talk about this. The title of today's show is actually based off of a book, all right? And I think I sent you a picture of the book if you want to put the title page up, producer. It's Ignored Racism, White Animus Toward Latinos. All right, so this book kind of caught my eye. You know, internet reads your mind. I was looking for certain books on Amazon, and they start recommending stuff. Mm-hmm. And I figured, why not? You know, I mean, if I could spend, you know, $5 on a cup of coffee occasionally, why not? Why not spend, you know, skip a couple of those, get some books, and
see,
I mean, sometimes books ain't worth a damn. Books ain't worth a damn. I'll tell you that right now. But sometimes they pique my interest, and I found this quite interesting because, and we're gonna talk about the different dynamics. We've spoken about this in different ways on the show, I find it interesting because this thing of ignored racism. One is to show you how Esau and the heathen deal with the tribes differently, right? There's a different strategy that they have for Southern Kingdom than what they got for Northern Kingdom,
right,
though with the same intent. And though we've gone at great length, and we'll get back to stuff like that, because I got some stuff with like 14, I got a book called 1491, how it was over here before Columbus got here. I got another one, 1493, what happened and how did the world by and large react to him and what was discovered by them after the fact, right? You know, and I got to pick through it. I got to see, you know, a lot of times, like I said, a lot of these books, some of this stuff, you know, they'll take you somewhere and it's not even really that great.
Right.
Like I started some books and I was like I got one now and I'm like, damn, man, I wish I could return this. Like it went all that. It was a little bit dry.
Sometimes they get you with that bestseller title too.
They get you with that stuff and all of that. So, and so, one, this topic of Latino racism is interesting, and I like that it's called ignored racism because, with the exception of some of us, by and large, not just the other nations, but our people will tell you that racism towards Latinos really doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in the way that it's presented, and in this, I'm going to call this the intro episode because, like I said, we're going to deal with this type of topic for, I got some other books. You know, I got another one called The Invention of the Latinos, Inventing Latinos, and, you know, why that's inaccurate because we're really indigenous and how it doesn't apply. I got another one about how the racism is perceived against so-called Latinos, which we know in Israel, the Latinos are dealing with the so-called Northern Kingdom tribes. And not just that. Within that also falls, see, I like indigenous because we were indigenous to here. This was a land where never mankind dwelled according to the scriptures, all right? You read that in 2 Ezra 13.
Right.
And it was our portion in these last days for the Most High to give that to the northern tribes, right? And then obviously later with the prophecies of the slave trade and everything, the Most High brought all 12 tribes together again.
Right.
And a lot of times we say Latino because that's what's in the
politically correct.
Yeah, I say I'm trying to use words that are not too. That's the zeitgeist of the time.
He's been reading.
That's the cult of. No, I read a dictionary growing up, but my mama, we didn't have no tablets and I couldn't afford no Nintendo none of that stuff. I mean, later I got like a PlayStation, like later.
All right.
But
milk.
And man, I had I forgot who I was talking to about that, man. I had a bookshelf in the hallway of my apartment. I don't want to digress too much. Yeah, man. Oh, that's right. Monday Night Law before we were reading, before we were doing the class. And I remember we had this bookshelf in the hallway. We had this long hallway in the projects that we lived in. And, I don't know if you like maybe in my age group or I'll give you late 30s and up.
Okay.
All right. I think after that, maybe not.
I'm almost there.
Almost every home had an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
That was Google.
Yeah.
That was Google. Right.
We all did.
So almost every home had an encyclopedia and I had the set and I also had the dictionary. And I was telling you, I also, because we grew up Catholic, had the big Catholic Bible on the top of that thing, open to like Psalms or Proverbs, right?
Right.
Dusty as hell.
Got it, right. Psalms 23.
Hey, but let me tell you something, man. That encyclopedia and them dictionary was getting used, you know? Hey, my mom told me, she was like, look, you know, I don't know. I think she went to like 9th grade, maybe 8th grade. So, you know, I would ask her questions. She's like, check the dictionary. She's like, I can't help you. I don't know what those words mean, but I'll get you this stuff so that you can, you know, do it. Hey, you had encyclopedia salesman back then. That was like a door-to-door thing.
Yeah, they would come door-to-door back then.
Yeah, and they look nice, bro. You know, it's like, you know, you get a hardcover book. It's real nice and stuff like that. So, you know, some people don't even know on the show Millennial what an encyclopedia is, right? They're like, huh?
Door-to-door? Yeah. The hell is
if you don't know, Wikipedia is a play on the encyclopedia. Right? That's what's called Wikipedia. Right. So you play on the encyclopedia. And
somebody's mind is blown right now. Okay. Blown.
So I go back to my point. Well, I digressed a little bit with that story. But I go back to my point to talk about kind of the cult of personality, the zeitgeist, the verbiage of the times puts in Latinos. But remember, like, again, and I'll bring this out in a later show, Lord's will, Latinos is a misnomer, right? Just like Hispanic is, just like to even say Spanish, right. It's not accurate. So the ignored racism in this country extends to all the indigenous that are here. And guess what? So-called Puerto Ricans are indigenous because of the Caribbean, so-called Dominicans, what's known as Mexicans today, Peruvians, Colombians, Venezuelans, Brazilians, Chileans, Argentinians, I mean, all those.
The first inhabitants.
Right, yes. Yeah. Right. We were all once, those were the names that the Spaniards ascribed to us and named our lands after they came here and colonized, right as is right. their nature. And prior to that, even though once we, prior to everything, we still called ourselves Israelites, we had indigenous names for ourselves. We picked tribal names, right? Mm-hmm. By and large, you know, the so-called Puerto Ricans and Dominicans were known as Arawaks, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You had different terminologies here, like Incas and Mayas, right? And so forth. So, and then you had the Caribs, they also called, right?
Right
which
right.
now when you do some history, the Caribs really going into like Levi and Benjamin, largely Benjamin. But there's a lot of different history there with the different terms. So going back to this ignored racism, the white animus toward Latinos, this is not just something that – this is the racism that's in everybody's face for those who can see it, but is more easily denied because the history that's front and center is usually the colonial transatlantic slave trade and not what the Spaniards did, all right? And it's not to measure sticks and say one was worse or the other. They were all atrocious, and they all, when you read biblically, were similar, right? Mm-hmm. It tells you in Daniel – can we get that where it says about no one has suffered like Israel has suffered? All right. And that goes for all tribes. That goes for all tribes. And I want to bring that out because the distinction that I'm making is to understand how we get to today where it's so bad with the disacknowledgement of that we don't go through the same things. That it's even amongst our people. I understand where it comes from is the point that I'm going to make.
Right.
And my aim with this series, Lord's Will, for Be the Lord's Will that we bring out amongst whatever the Most High wants edified, is that I can show you historically how the uniqueness of us having been here before the rest of the tribes came over with the transatlantic slave trade is what sets the tone hundreds of years later for this thing where not just white people and other nations, heathen nations, will say there is no racism towards Latinos, but that you can even have Latinos and so-called Southern Kingdom say the same thing.
Right.
All right. Right. There is a rationale behind that. And obviously it's all of the Lord.
Right.
But it's nice to have the historical context of where this stuff comes from. Go ahead, read that real quick.
This is the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 12. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us.
How did he confirm them? Now today, we see the atrocities historically in the Bible and then whatever we have documented in the history books. Come on. Because the words that he spake against us is what you read in Deuteronomy 28, what you read throughout all the scriptures and the prophets of the different things that would happen to us. Come on.
And against our judges that judged us. By bringing upon us a great evil.
A great evil. That great evil was led by the ministers of Satan, right? Which is the so-called white man who the Bible calls Esau or Edom, right? They were the one that led that salvo and led that charge with all the other nations confederate behind them. Come on.
For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done unto upon Jerusalem.
Right. So under the whole heaven, there's different heavens in the Bible. What it's talking about is in the earth. Nothing has been done like what's been done upon Jerusalem. And when he says Jerusalem, he's talking about all Israel. He's talking about all the Israelites, all right? And he's saying there's nothing in the history of anything, no so-called Holocaust of Amalekites who the world calls Jewish people, right? And I'm not even going to try to, because you'll get censored right away if you say it didn't happen. And the I'm not even going to get into that. But if you just want to take even that at face value, it does not compare.
Not at all.
To what has been done to the true Israelites of the Bible. That's Come right. on. Was that in on ever?
That's it, sir.
That's it on ever. So that in and of itself, all right, I want to give that distinction because I want, as we go through this, I don't want people, I mean, you could be offended, but, you know, I want you to understand where it comes from. And I've said this in different ways before. When I see some of our own people, and I'm going to tell you, silly doves as well, Latinos, so-called Northern Kingdom included, deny racism. We're going to learn today where that stems from, right? Where that stems from and why that stuff comes out, okay? You had something you want to bring up?
Yeah, and that just leads to the point where what you were saying, they use each against each other or mm-hmm. each slavery against each mm-hmm. other. To try to mask each one of them
mm-hmm.
so that it's harder for us to identify. It's just part of the crafty counsel that they use against us. So that's all I wanted to bring up.
Oh, that's it? That's all you're going to bring
that
up?
That was it.
Come on.
That's all I was going to just pass it, you know? You got a lot of things you're going to bring up.
Yeah, I still can't deal with this new Facebook format, man. Like, I used to be able to see the comments on Facebook. Like, I can't see it. It's like I get like a little sliver.
Don't update.
I don't know if it's my setting. You know, you try to reduce a window and expand another one. I can't. It's not doing that for me. I'll figure it out another time. All right. So, you know, I get to see the YouTube comments.
iPhone 12.
I don't know. I ain't got no. That's on my computer. There ain't no iPhone 12. What you talking about?
My bad. You were talking about
it. Goodness gracious. I'm not going to do the first article that I said, but save that, the one about the Indians who claim descent. That was, you know, being that we started late, I want to move forward with what I got. All right, so I'm going to jump into the book, and we're going to move around, and we'll jump into, I have an article. And it's interesting. I actually think I did a show on this article several years ago when we first started the show here. Obviously, we had, you know, less of a viewership and different things going on back then, but I think it's still – I saved the article because – the content of the article, though it was written, I believe, in like 2012, I believe is still really relevant. So we're going to jump into this book, all right? We're going to talk about this a little bit. So I want the preface. I think I put – no, not the preface. Even before the preface, I had posted a picture of, yeah, the intro to the book. And I want to read that part so we can get some context on this.
You said not the preface?
Not the preface. There was another page. Oh, it's the, yeah, that's it. Ignored racism. Okay. All right, so I'm going to read this. So it says, ignored racism. Although Latinos are now the largest non-majority group in the United States, existing research on white attitudes toward Latinos has focused almost exclusively on attitudes towards immigration. And this is very relevant, and as we explain it today, you're going to understand the immigration is a smokescreen for the animus and racism that they have. And we'll get the definitions of animus ready. Don't put it up yet, because it's not a common word. Like, we were just talking about, like, even I had to look at it. Like, I knew it meant, like, some sort of hate, right, or animosity, right, the root word from that. But it's nice to read the definitions. Y'all know, you know, if you – watch anything, I'm always in on definitions, right? And now you know why. My mom was like, read the dictionary, you know, dictionary. This book changes that. It argues that, because this is their excuse, I'm not racist, it's that, you know, immigration, you know, we can relate to that, right? No matter what line you're on, you know, you don't want people coming in here, overloading the country, so on and so forth. This book changes that. It argues that such accounts fundamentally underestimate the political power of whites' animus toward Latinos and thus miss how conflict extends well beyond immigration to issues such as voting rights, criminal punishment, policing and which candidates support. Sounds a lot like the same thing our Southern Kingdom brothers go through.
Exactly.
But because of the way it's presented in this country, because of the way it's reported in the news, because of the way that it's discussed, it's seen as a different type of issue. And it's so powerful, this train of thought, that this is where you get those, we'll read it later in Hosea 7. I mean, you know, I usually have to always go there, Hosea 7 and 8. How strangers were able to devour the strength right. of the northern kingdom,
right.
All right? And they know if it not. Because it's done in such a crafty way. This is how you can have Mexicans be anti-immigration against other Mexicans,
mm-hmm.
not realizing that it's all a smokescreen right. of racism,
right.
All right? And we're going to talk about different types of racism. We're going to talk about, you know, race neutrality. There's some different terms and stuff that's going to – because these things are going to – so we're going to spend a lot of time on that on this episode, because as we continue on and dealing with these topics, you have to have that foundation. You know, we'll probably revisit some of the definitions as needed. I know some people might not watch the show today. They might tune in at another time. I have to lay that foundation so that the full understanding comes out of where we're going with this. And to me, I think this is crucially critical as you see more Northern Kingdom wake up. And we know amongst Israel, there's this anti-Northern Kingdom sentiment by and large, right? You know, and a lot of it is based on these type of factors and them not being able to see that and see the commonality in what we have, all right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to bring out and show you how they play on that appearance thing, right, mm-hmm. which is kind of your basic racism,
right?
Right, right. Going based on appearance,
right,
and not focusing on the things that we just read, where it extends, you know, to things like criminal punishment, policing, right, which candidates support, all the same type of things that we deal with. So it says, providing historical and cultural context and drawing on rich survey and experimental evidence. So, you know, he's basically qualifying his book that this isn't an opinion piece. For whatever that's worth to anybody, you know, he has citations and stuff in this book, and he's even created a scale, which I have not read that further into it yet, that basically validates everything that he's saying. So, you know, if you're a data head and you like to see that sort of stuff, spiritually, we know what it is, right? We're going to lean on the Lord for that stuff.
Right.
But sometimes, but data's nice sometimes.
It is.
I like data.
It's a backup.
I like data. Yeah. You know, because, you know, sometimes you get these so-called academics that try to come and deal with you, and they think that, you know, we're all ex-convicts and got no jobs, and you know what I'm saying? Like, and they don't realize the caliber of people that are repenting in these last days,
right.
and who is amongst us, you know?
Right.
And then how the Most High can give such an increase to – I mean, we've had brothers who were never able to read before, and now they're here teaching scriptures strong,
right.
reading, you know, Old English, you know, in the King James Bible, and being able to articulate and break that stuff down, you know. So, you know, the Most High is powerful in that. They can't see that power. Mm-hmm. But like he said, the foolishness of preaching
is right. What
I choose. Right? It's not the mighty that I choose.
That's right.
Right? And, you know, you see that come out. And it says, so he says, it shows that Latino racism, so he says, providing historical and cultural context and drawing on rich survey and experimental evidence, the author showed that Latino racism, ethnicism, because we're going to break that down too, is a coherent belief system about Latinos that is conceptually and empirically distinct from other forms of outgroup hostility and from partisanship and ideology. So he's letting you know there's a uniqueness, and I'm going to explain what the crux of that uniqueness is as to why there's this misnomer, even amongst Latinos, mm-hmm. that we are not experiencing racism at the same levels as so-called blacks.
Wow.
All right?
Wow.
So let's move on. We're not going to do the article yet. There's a whole bunch of references here. I haven't even gotten to the tables and stuff. So let's deal with the preface. All right?
Preface.
I know, tomato, tomato. I say preface.
Judah and Israel.
Is that like breakfast?
Breakfast. This research is more timely than we first expected. When we started this project in 2014, we expected that whites' animus toward Latinos played an important role in shaping a lot of their opinions about politics and policy. Let's pause for a moment because I said we got to look up animus, right?
Right.
And maybe some people did already. So let's pull up
Jump
animus.
In the gun.
Let's pull up animus. And you know me, I like several definitions, so we're going to go through all of them. I hope you put them all up. Looks like you only put up one. So if you did it, I will go get dictionary and Webster's while you're at it. So animus, hostility or ill feeling, and a motivation to do something, right? So again, hostility, ill feeling. See how it says it deals with psychology and philosophy. Let's see what else we got. You going to scroll down? Okay. Webster. Yeah, Webster's my favorite. That's the one I had in the book form.
That's the book?
Up.
Oh, yeah.
Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It was real big hardcover. Uh-huh. It had a brown outer jacket. I remember it. It had the big circle just like that. It's a Merriam-Webster. And, of course, Webster hitting home like it always does, way better than Google. I don't think Google dumbs it. Sometimes Google be on point with some definitions. A usually prejudiced and often spiteful or malevolent ill will. See, that's more potent.
Hey, just do it.
That's more potent. That's a lot more potent.
Do the bomb, man.
That's a lot more potent. It says it's a usually prejudiced, right? Meaning it's not based on anything in reality, right? They're prejudging. And it is often spiteful or malevolent, meaning malicious. And it's an ill will. So when we say white animus towards Latinos, they have a prejudiced, spiteful, malevolent, ill will towards Latinos, all right? Basic attitude or governing spirit, that's nice too, because it's basically telling you that's their disposition against so-called Latinos. That's just the way they are. Somebody's disposition is like, that's how you see it. Like, for example, like our disposition towards shellfish and pork in this truth is disgust.
Right.
No, I can't eat that. Once upon a time, it wasn't. Once upon a time, our disposition was...
For some of us.
That was our favorite thing. For some of us. I know not all. Right? Get the hell out of here with an inner masculine part of the female personality. That sounds like some new stuff.
Bruh.
Let me see what dictionary say. I mean, Webster was strong. Let me see what dictionary say. Let's see what dictionary say. Strong dislike or enmity. I like that because that word's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Enmity. A hostile attitude. And like I said, the root word is animosity.
Right.
So you could have an idea when you hear it what it means, right? And look at the definition number two. It is their motivating purpose or intention to be spiteful, to be malevolent, and to have ill will towards the Northern Kingdom, towards so-called Latinos. And we know they have that ill will towards everybody. But the point that we're bringing out is that they go about it different when it comes to us. And that's by design, prophetically, that it was going to be that way.
And it says purpose and intent, meaning it was always meant to be. It was in their spirit.
Yes.
To hate us.
Yes. It was in their spirit. That's like when you read in Job when it talks about it's in their bones.
Right.
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 Like it's in their DNA structure. I've brought that before. It's in their bones to bring that to be that way. So now let's go back to the book. So it says this research is more timely than we first expected. When we started this project in 2014, we expected that white animus toward Latinos played an important role in shaping a lot of their opinions about politics and policy. But we expected that most of the findings would suggest that it would be unexplored and important undercurrents of politics. Obviously, the tides have shifted as we are writing this in July of 2019. So this is a recently published book. A dominant story is President Donald Trump's tweets and comments about the squad, four women of color in the House of Representatives. His tweets suggesting they should go back to their countries and the chant of send her back at one of his rallies has once again made race and ethnicity a central piece of the Trump presidency. So what's important about this aspect is what he's saying is that in this environment, and this is what I love about Trump, and, you know, you also read that in Daniel where he says he'll set the basis of men up.
Right.
And, you know, I share this sentiment with Deacon Ithan. I miss Trump. I love Trump.
he was a straight shooter.
I love Trump.
He was honored.
Straight shooter.
Because Trump, you ever seen that thing where somebody says something and then go?
Right.
He was that guy for them.
That was that guy, yeah.
He was that guy for them. So I miss that candor. I miss that, you know.
Afraid to put the mic in his face.
Yeah. And the reason I miss, see, if he would have said all those things and not got a following, not got chosen to be president, notice I said chosen, not elected.
Right.
Not, you know, not have got the response that he did. He drove these damn, let me use proper terms so I don't get put off the air.
You got the word.
I was going to say saltine crackers. He drove these damn Edomites to freaking run up on the Capitol, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Straight division amongst themselves.
With weapons.
Right? With weapons and all types of stuff. They all types of convictions now. They're getting all over the place with this stuff, right? So it's not just that he said it. It's that the people responded.
Mm-hmm.
They responded, man.
Exactly.
So to me, I mean, the Most High did that thing. It's no coincidence that you're seeing an uptick in Israel of Northern Kingdom activity, that you're seeing that stuff, because the time is now show that that's where we at.
Yeah.
To show that that's where we at. Hey, in some ways, this is them sowing more confusion. They're trying to show you that black people are getting a fairer shake, right?
Right.
They're trying to line up Kamala Harris and some of the things that they're doing.
Yep.
But that's not happening with Latinos right
now. They've been masking it for so long.
Yes.
For so long they've been masking the hatred towards Latinos that they try to push the hatred towards Judah, the Southern Kingdom. But go ahead.
So it says, alongside this more generalized racism, right? So you have, there's a term, generalized racism, all right? That's dealing with more of the prototypical feature thing. You don't look like us. Your features are different. All right. We are witnessing policies specifically targeting Latino communities.
Mm.
What policies could these be? This includes the separation of families at the border. Because that's not happening with Irish immigrants.
Not at all.
It's not happening with Italian immigrants.
Not at all.
That's not happening with even Arab immigrants.
Not even a Haitian.
Not even, well,
Afghanistan.
They're not separating them, but they're sending their behinds back, you know. Yeah. I say, but right, those aren't policies. That was just something they were doing.
Right.
You see the specificity of this aggression. It's not really immigration. It's immigration that's at the Mexican border that they have an issue with.
Right.
It's not immigration. Because let me tell you, people don't just come in through Mexico.
Right.
They come in through all types of means, with all types of fake IDs on ships,
different visas,
stowaways, different things like that. What do you think? There's only coyotes in Mexico? And I don't mean the dog. That's what they call the people who smuggle the people in. You don't think that's happening else? And they turn a blind eye to those type of things.
The hell is this?
So that's biblical. Separation of families, children's kept in cages, right? Let's get that in Deuteronomy 28. Was it 32? Deuteronomy 28:32.
Yep.
We forgot about that because the news cycle's not reporting it. That has not changed. There are still children in cages. There are still families that have not reconnected with their kids years later. That means they came here, their child might have been 3, their child is 5 now. They probably don't even remember who their mother is. And this is America in 2021. Mm-hmm. We're not talking, because some people, you're talking about when conquistadors were here. We're not them. Mm-hmm. Read that.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people.
They become products of the system, because if they don't send them back, right, and send them back with who, there's no way for them to find relatives. The way they did this thing, the way they had this policy set up, there's no identifying documents. There's no way to trace them back to who their families are.
Exactly.
Some of them are not even Mexicans. They were coming up from Central America, South America, and they just all coalesced together as they came up.
Right.
Placed. Read it from the top again.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people.
It says they'll be given unto another people. They've been given into the system, right?
Right.
They've been given. Some of them are going back to the Mexican government. You deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long.
This is happening now. This has happened now.
Right.
This isn't that someone took them in slavery
right.
and a conquistador just robbed them from them. This is now.
Now.
Yep. It says that you will not have, well, it's going to say it, you won't have might in your hand. It says your eyes will look with longing all the day long as they take your children from you. Come on.
And there shall be no might in thine hand.
No might, no power to fight it. Because, if somebody's trying to take your child from you, in any circumstance, you're going to fight that thing.
Exactly.
You're going to go ahead and do what you need to do to retain and protect your children in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're still in a day and age, and it doesn't even have to be at the face of a sword or a gun. power that they've solidified in their superiority in this earth allows them to do this with impunity. Right. And it don't matter that there's people and public representatives up in arms about it. What's being done about it?
Right.
Nothing.
Nothing. And it's still going on.
It's been hidden for so long. This,
yep.
Just this right here.
Yep.
This verse.
So showing you that when it says the curses will pursue you and upon your seed forever, can we read that part? I think it's what, 46 and 47?
46. This is the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 46. And they shall be upon thee
they,
for a sign.
These curses. The they is these curses. He said these curses will be your identity. Mm-hmm. There ain't no other nation in the earth that uses curses to identify their history.
Right.
There ain't none. All of them can give you their history. Mm-hmm. All of them. You look at our people. Native Americans, they'll tell you they got it. They don't know their damn, whatever their history before the so-called white man was, yep. That's limit. What they can tell you is traditions, not their history.
Right.
That thing was killed away, washed away. Save the man, kill the Indian. They destroyed that thing. So-called black man in America, where's your history?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you run into Africa. That's why you run into Kemetic, Egyptian stuff, latching onto every little thing. Yep. Because there is no history for us. So-called Latinos, Hispanics, your history starts. You talk about Inca and Maya. What do you know about that?
Right.
You know about that from the perspective of when the conquistadors came
right. And
destroyed us.
Right.
Read that again.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 46.
Freedom!
And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder.
We are identified as a people based on our afflictions.
Right.
That was the prophecy that the Most High God put onto us. And it's just, it's meat. Is it tragic? Is it sad? Yes. But it's supposed to be.
This prophecy.
Because in that uniqueness, the Most High knew this thing's not going to get twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because I know the spirit in this vessel of wrath that I created, fitted for destruction. And he is going to destroy because that's what I made. Because that's what he made Esau for. Right. And he is going to destroy. And not just destroy them and break them down as a people, but he's going to destroy who they are, all semblance, any memory of the glory, of the wonders, of what great a nation they are.
Mm.
He said, so these curses will be your way back to me in these last days. Come on.
And that's crazy. Okay. We remember the sign,
mm-hmm.
but we don't remember the God of the sign.
Nope.
We don't remember the commandments.
Nope.
We remember the slavery. That's where we're going into in Daniel 9.
Yes.
Everybody's going to know us by that sign.
That's it.
Right.
That's it.
That's
so for all the arguments and all the semantics that anybody wants to give,
right.
that try to fight us, apologists, morons, and theologians that went to how do you go
seminary,
to a university
cemetery.
to get God's word?
That's crazy.
To get the understanding of God's word. You want to talk about divinely inspired, but then you went to get an accreditation for a degree in a system that designed what they should include and what they shouldn't include in their curriculum.
What you're going into. Hatred.
And then if you look at the corruptness of the whole system that it is.
That's right. That's right.
What is built upon.
Mm.
I mean, come
Bring
on.
Out, right.
And then you want to say that? You could just play with this right here, with what you said between this verse and Daniel 9, and show you that it's not, that you cannot defend against this.
No. Right.
Show me another nation.
That's the point.
Show me another nation.
Right. Yep.
That cannot trace their history back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just us.
That's
it's just
right.
us.
Bring it out.
And then if you have that dialogue with them and ask them, well, how come you can't? They don't even want to approach that because then they'll have to acknowledge what they did.
Exactly.
And they definitely don't.
No, and then it backs them into a corner and they wind up giving credence to the whole thing, you know? So,
yes,
you know, it's crazy. Read that verse again from the top.
This is the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 46.
Freedom!
And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder.
These curses would be a sign and a wonder because there's a wonder that we survived as a people.
Right.
You know, I was looking at another article that I might bring out later down the road. Maybe I bring it out for Thursday because dealing with Thanksgiving. I mean, next week's show, Wednesday. And it says that in schools, they essentially teach you that all the Native Americans are dead. That's basically what the curriculum says.
That's right, yeah.
That there's no more Native Americans, that they're dead.
Right.
And we know that that's not true. We know that there's Natives that identify as Natives that live on reservations still to this day, far and few between. And we know that they live on through the tribes of Israel as well.
Right.
Right? Because of, you know, we only know what our father is. We go from there. I mean, how many times you've seen it a little more and more? You got brothers that have been professing Judah. Hey, we had a couple brothers that professed Issachar. And they were like, nah, man, turn out I'm Gad.
I'm Gad.
Turn out I'm Reuben. Don't be scared, brothers and sisters. You know, if you Gad or you Reuben, you still Israel.
That's right. I just brought it out, too.
You still Israel.
Yeah, might be Gad.
Right. We would talk about that with you, you know. Yep. Soldier Bishop, bro.
Soldier Bishop. Yep.
I'm not always able to grow that fro, man, but you look at him, bro. He looked like the picture in the Black Indian.
That's
he
right.
He really does. Bro.
Them
that's
features right. and everything like that. And I know it's not all about features, man, but you know what I'm saying? Like, come on now.
That brother always looked Northern Kingdom to me.
Right. Yeah. Oh, right. Right. Hey, and we use Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom just to simplify it. There's only one kingdom that's going to come.
That's right.
Under one king in Christ.
Bring it out.
But we have to use those terms because that's an important history that's not taught in the Bible, too.
Right.
Because that prompts a question. Well, what do you mean Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom? Right. Well, it's just the way we're going to show you the division of the tribes because that's how they were divided historically.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in these last days, they would come back together. Go ahead, read. There'll be a pondy for a sign and a wonder. I know I'm trying to get through it, but I'm doing a Bishop Yawis out now, boy. I was watching a clip from, he sent me a clip from a class he did, boy. And, man, he stayed on a scripture in Hebrews, bro. Man. No lie, for like 30 minutes, man.
Wow.
It was one script. Just
the master.
But it was fire. Like, right. I was walking on the treadmill, bro, and I didn't even realize that I was doing exercise. I'm just listening to the class.
Bishop is the master of the butter on the biscuit.
He take all that meat off the bone, bro. You know he
did. He needs some milk.
Well, he take all that meat off the bone.
Right.
He don't need Judah. Come on.
And upon thy seed forever.
Right? And upon thy seed forever. So my point was, going back to what we're reading here, I'm going to go back to the book. It says that you see this, right, beyond generalized racism. We are witnessing this today in 2021 in America with policies that specifically target Latino communities. It includes the separation of families at the border, children kept in cages, an increasing number of migrant deaths, and a rise in anti-immigrant vigilante groups, letting you know that those curses, like we read in Deuteronomy 28:32, like we read just now in Deuteronomy 28:46, are here and upon your seed forever. Meaning that if you're in the right spirit, you will see the manifestation of those curses today. They try to tell you that was for then and this is for a time. Yeah, certain ones that were hard hit in history, right? Like the siege at Jerusalem and so on and so forth.
Right.
But then he goes on to say, hey, listen, all this other stuff, man, I'm telling you right here, this is going to be your identity.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be what you identify with, right? And that's why I said to go back with that Daniel 9. Mm-hmm. It says, and more recently, the unlawful incarceration of U.S. citizens of Latino heritage by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They're even mixing up people who do have a proper status here, who are citizens here, and locking them up.
Mm.
So it says, whites' attitudes about Latinos may have been an undercurrent in 2014, but now they are clearly a tidal force. Man, when I read that, I said, damn, I've been saying that with Trump this whole presidency.
Yeah.
He gave us all so much material to deal with.
Right.
That's why I love that guy.
Yeah.
Because it's put to the forefront.
His spirit is revealed.
My so-called Southern Kingdom brothers and sisters, you so-called blacks, you not alone in your afflictions. We afflicted with you.
Together.
Hey, and I've said this openly. We've gone over this. There's some white passing that allows certain things, but that's the generalized racism, right? So the white passing, those Latinos who look like myself, right? Because there's Latinos that look like you would think they're Southern Kingdom.
Right.
There is a white passing and stuff, but it's no different as far as all the afflictions that we've dealt with. You have to understand that piece of it, right? And again, there's a psychology behind this. There's a sociology behind this type of behavior. And I think it behooves us to truly try to understand this and at least have this information out there for those who the Most High is willing to let that spirit open up and have that discourse to be able to see the factors behind that and why today it appears this way, rather than just so cavalierly and casually just write it off as no, because, you know, they have elected officials and there you don't see the stuff in the news cycle and stuff like that, that they're not part of that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. I'm still in the preface. I don't know how much of this I'm going to get through today. That's why I said this is going to be like a series of things that we're going to go to. Because
it's good, guys. It's good.
Right? The struggle is for real. The struggle is for real. Someone put the struggle is for real. All right. Let me see. Okay, so it goes on to basically state that many of these people who are getting elected now were able to do so by running on anti-immigration platforms, right? So let's get the next page of the preface, all right? Yeah, right up there, right? And it says, so they're running on anti-immigration platforms. In particular, the goal was to move beyond existing measures and approaches rooted in theories of how whites perceive blacks to understand how whites perceive Latinos. So what they're saying is that they compiled their data by trying to look at what they had an abundance of, which was historically whites' views of so-called blacks, right? He says, much of the extant research, we believe, emphasized social distance and contact, but did not have as much of a focus on the actual content of what whites thought and felt about Latinos. Mm. Because it's more prevalent for them to speak about blacks in a direct general racist way.
Right.
Right? How, but not so much when it's Latinos. What do they focus on? Immigration,
right.
Taking our jobs, that sort of stuff. Right. Mm. But they're not saying that about other immigrant
groups.
That's
right.
Look at how they all open their arms to all those Ishmaelites from Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. Yep. That's exactly.
Or the Chinese. Moab.
Or the Chinese. Yeah. They're talking about even the what are those Muslim Chinese, the Uyghur.
Yeah.
They're talking about them and how would they, the atrocities that China's doing against them, and they need to do something with them.
Right.
Right. In their minds, if it's another race other than Latino, then it's not about immigration.
Right. It's legal.
Right.
Instead of illegal.
Right.
Yes. They have homes. Airbnb is providing homes
right,
for
when
Ishmael,
they came in. Yep.
But is providing cages for Northern
Kingdom. Mm, damn. Did they hear you when you said that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Can you drop a bomb for yourself?
Like Deacon Lava said.
Damn, that was mad delayed. You should have had your finger ready, bro, on
right,
that one.
Right.
Hey, if you did not hear the producer, he said they have homes, people putting up Airbnbs for Ishmael. And what they have for the Latinos was cages.
Hey, thousands, hundreds of thousands of Airbnbs.
Hundreds of thousands of Airbnb. That's right. And I'm telling you, right, because people want to talk about Britney Spears' conservatorship.
Right.
I don't know, something happened with LeBron that was in the headlines the other day. I don't even know what the hell it was, right? Everybody looking at this Kyle Rittenhouse case. Well, I mean, we know what's going to happen there.
Right.
And even if something do happen to him, it ain't going to be what is just. It ain't going to be what he should get.
Right. It's going to be like 2 years probation.
Yep.
Right.
Hey, real talk.
I mean, and I think he killed just other white people, so, right. You know, but, you know.
Collateral damage.
Right, whatever. But still, you know. So everybody's talking about all this stuff, right. And they're forgetting about the stuff that's still going on. Right. I tell you, boy, that's just the way. It's not even just the American people. That's just the way the world is nowadays.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Right. So it says, our start point was to consider the unique legacy of history and culture of Latinos in America. So I mentioned that there's some unique aspects of why the racism is ignored when it comes to Latinos versus so-called blacks, right? And that unique legacy is the indigenous factor, right? I wrote a note there, I put indigenous, because that's the indigenous factor. That's the unique legacy. When you're dealing with so-called, even though we know historically, biblically, that some of the other tribes were with us, like the Olmecs, and we know that Solomon knew about this side of the world,
right.
And things like that. By and large, right, they wound up fleeing to Africa after the siege in Jerusalem in 70 AD, and they came over later in the different cap. There was sprinklings here, just like there were sprinklings of Northern Kingdom that remained back there when you read the history.
That's right.
But that unique legacy is that indigenous factor that I mentioned. All right, that it's different because what they did and what's very largely often forgotten, even though you can't really forget it because it's just so prominent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it goes to show you the power that they have.
Right.
That's something that's front and center that everybody knows. You see, this is why they're trying to take it out the school
media,
system.
Man. Yeah.
Is that there were people here,
right.
And you just stole it from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates a little bit of a different dynamic. Versus having brought people here.
Right.
Right?
Right,
creates
right, right.
A different sentiment, even.
It does.
Right? In it some does. Circles, as to how you feel about that sort of thing. Right? So it says, so our starting point was to consider the unique legacy of history and culture of Latinos in America and how whites have racialized Latinos into a distinctive non-white group. Letting you know, all right, that even though some of us may look like them,
They don't consider us them.
They know, yep.
We are considered a non-white group to them. So for you so-called Latinos that might tune into the show and be on the fence about where you're at in this repentance and say, no, I haven't gone through this stuff, all right? Even though you might have features and characteristics and skin complexions that look like them, they don't see you as them.
Right.
You a nooker just like they see everybody else as a nooker.
Right.
Bring
it out.
All
right.
Right. That's the way it's set up. They've racialized Latinos into a distinctive non-white group because in their hearts, because of that unique legacy, understanding the indigenous aspect of who we are, they don't care that conquistadors mixed with us because they know that we're still, in the higher levels, the people of this book.
That's right. That's right.
But then you got dum-dums in Israel that are like, no, 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 because the conquistadors mixed with y'all and everything, y'all are Gentiles.
All the tribes black.
All the tribes are black.
Every last one.
Right. Even though we're a speckled bird.
But Master telling you, nah, that's not the case.
Right.
They know what's
right.
up.
Right.
They know what's going on. So what we found was that animus, that hostility, that malicious intent toward Latinos, in the past, largely mirrors the expression of animus toward Latinos today.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning nothing's changed, even though you think it might have changed. In a way that mixes animosity toward the group with dislike towards certain ascribed behaviors. And this is where it begins to get a little more nuanced. In some ways, it is much like how the shift from old-fashioned and biological racism, and I've highlighted here, when they say old-fashioned and biological, that's skin color and features. That's old-fashioned racism. That's biological racism
right.
when you talk about physical differences.
Right.
So what he's saying is in some ways, it's much like how the shift, it shifted from that now.
Wow.
From old-fashioned and biological racism, and they've even do this with Judah, to racial resentment, and it changed the ways in which racism directed toward African-Americans is expressed among whites.
Wow.
Because now, even under Trump, they won't openly say monkeys. I mean, some of them will put some
right.
stuff out there, but they'll start to say things like, well, all of us have the same opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have the same upward mobility.
Right.
We're the ones disenfranchised now. Why aren't you taking
advantage of
affirmative
program.
Action and all the other things that are there,
yeah.
right? So I'll answer this. So you have this setup of this old-fashioned racism, right, where mm-hmm. no Negroes, no dogs, no Mexicans, no Latinos
right.
allowed,
yeah.
right? Segregation and whatnot.
Right.
So now an integrate, even though it's not really integrated.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll come out at some point. I was reading it when I was doing the research for the show. When you think of New York, and I've even said this on the show, but at least amongst ourselves, you don't see New York in the same light you'll see someplace like Mississippi or Alabama when it comes to racism, right?
Right, right.
And y'all get what I'm saying about it, right?
Yeah.
That, and we're going to read it when we read the article. The difference between the North and the South, even now to these days, is that at least the South is upfront about their racism.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
So that's that old-fashioned biological racism type of thing. In the North, you wouldn't think that it's like that, right?
Mm.
But there's a stat. I can't remember. It's in one of the things I read in research in the show. And Lord's Will, it comes out. That says that New York is actually one of the most largely segregated cities in the world.
I believe it.
Because of the way the cities are.
Because we all wound up moving to chill with each other, and then they kind of moved out.
Right.
They're trying to change that with gentrification and coming back in.
Right,
so what we call ghettos, which really doesn't mean the hood, there's difference.
Yeah.
Ghettos in its true form just means an ethnic area, right?
Right.
So Chinatown's a ghetto, right?
Right?
Little Italy's a ghetto, right? We went in, obviously, through vernacular and stuff like that, the verbiage that
ghetto.
We use. Ghetto means where we from.
Hood.
But it talks about how it's largely segregated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say that it's more subvert, right,
mm-hmm.
versus overt,
right?
Okay, it's more like you got to look for it,
right?
Versus back in the day when you had open segregation,
right?
Right, where it was like, you know, blacks on the back of the bus, a white water fountain and a black
South,
water
you
fountain.
You can't go to certain places.
Right, right, right. That permeates to this day down in the South. Because of just the way it's set up. So basically, it's still there. It
right.
doesn't have to be enforced.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's so strong.
It's embedded in
that. It's embedded in the society and in the culture. And you would think it's a little different in New York, but that's just because of the sheer number of people that are in a city and in a
mm-hmm.
tri-state area like that where
right.
you see that sort of thing. All right. And I'll deal with the call in a second. I know the phone rang. All right. In some way, it is much harder to shift from old-fashioned, I just want to finish this paragraph, old-fashioned biological racism to racial resentment change the ways in which racism directed toward African American is expressed among whites. What separates it from racial resentment, and we're going to deal with these terms in a moment after the call, targeted at African Americans, is how it is grounded in the historical perceptions of Latinos rather than a shift in norms of equality, meaning Latinos would never see, like, it hasn't changed is what he just said. From when the conquistadors came to the till today, that mindset has stayed with them on how we are and what we represent, meaning they cannot acknowledge fully, even though they may verbally, that this is a stolen land from them.
Right.
It being, it's a little easier for them to deal with so-called blacks saying, yeah, we did bring them over and stuff like not, that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that they'll take that low and try to throw it off and say that wasn't us.
Right.
But they cannot put away the American Holocaust, the genocide that happened here.
That's heavy.
As they took this place.
That's right. Heavy.
That's what that's going into. Mm. All right. So you said that there was a caller. What's the caller's comment? What screen me first? What are we talking about?
It's a sister, and she's a teacher.
Okay.
And she has immigrant students, so I didn't get to go into the whole.
Okay. Place. All right. Yeah. So let's put our. What's her name? Shalom, sister.
Hi.
Still there? You on there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Shalom, sister. Sister. What's your name, sister? Welcome to the Power Hour Plus.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. My name is Marie. And I teach in New York, in Rockland County, and it's a high immigration population coming in. You know, now it's mainly Northern Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I clueless as to why they do this, they check the kids off as some of them as white and some of them as Hispanic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the kids come to me and they say, Miss, they said, why do they put me down as white? I'm not white. And I have no clue. And so when you look through their records, you'll see it's like half of them they're putting as white and the other half is Hispanic. And I have no clue why they do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the higher level, sis, and thank you for the call. It's always nice to get that type of insight. Those are subtle things that they do, and you might not even realize it. Mm-hmm. And look at how astute the children are to be able to ask that sort of question at a young age. And, you know, that goes into the whole what was the term that we used? I don't even think we brought it out yet, where it talks about ethnic racism versus the old-fashioned racism.
Right, there,
because when you deal with racism at the core of its definitions, it goes into features, right? So let me just break that down. So let's look up race, all right, as a definition. And I don't think Google's a good one. Start with something else. Let's look up race so I can make this point. And again, it all goes back to the attitude and how basically the racism is evolving for them. And mm-hmm. and it's evolving in such a crafty way, in such a cunning way, that they're able to say that there's no racism and people can believe that because it's, you know, overt racism is Jim Crow laws.
Mm-hmm.
Subversive racism or, you know, kind of a less prominent racism is things like what the sister just told us as a teacher that they're doing in that sort of thing, where they try to separate the ethnicity from the race. So they're still trying to put this thing there where they're dealing with that old-fashioned feature skin color type of stuff.
Right.
To this day. That's what, when you check off those boxes and do that stuff, really is. Like, I was registering my son for school, and, you know, sometimes they give you an option to answer that question about race and ethnicity, right? And I'll answer ethnicity. And if there's an option to not answer race, I leave it blank because especially when it comes to Latinos, there is really no category.
Right.
I'm not going to let you say that I'm white. I know that I'm not. I mean, I'm black according to the way the Bible is and in my spirit.
Right.
But I know I'm not physically black and I don't have the black feature. So I usually ignore that question. So it's a little frustrating.
Right.
I literally today I was filling that out and I felt it today.
Right.
And I said, damn, I got to put down that my son is white because Sometimes
crazy.
I put native if it's there.
Right.
But then they start coming after you with all this other stuff. Oh, can you show your native benefits and things
even
like that?
Even with that.
But it's not even there.
Yeah. Right. Even with that, they put an application. I filled one out today.
They didn't even let me put other.
Right. It put Hispanic or not Hispanic in the same category.
Right.
It's like you're not even
this.
But, right. Yeah. But you know what? I think that the people are checking it off for them. Because when I first moved into the district,
that's what they did to me. That's
yeah,
racist.
So
that
she, so exactly. So she asked me, the woman asked me, was my daughter had special needs? I said no. And then she gave me the card. I had a job interview in the same district. So I had to run to the job interview. So I grabbed the card and I didn't look at it till I got home. And when I got home, she checked off special ed after I told her, no, we weren't special ed, and she checked off black. I didn't tell her to check off black. She just checked it off.
Wow. Look at that assumption.
When
and
the
you
kids
know, there's
said
some
that, that's what
that
I was wondering.
Like mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
yeah,
so I don't know, you know, to me, you know, like I said, I don't know what criteria they're using to say that some of the students are Hispanic and some of them are white. And they told me, why did they put that? They say, why did they put that? They're not putting that.
I'm going to show you now with this definition why they do that, right? And this is that generalized overt racism, and it's just so accepted. It's just so part of it. So we read the definition of race here, and it says, any one of the groups that humans are often divided into based on physical traits regarded as common among people of shared ancestry. They're purely going on physical traits. They're purely going on physical traits.
The hell is this?
And that's something that was established by them.
Yep.
See, the Most High dealt with nations.
Yep. Right.
The Most High dealt with dividing of nations. He didn't have to speak about differences in appearance and race because that was the default. Everything is done from the perception of Israel when you read the Bible and things like that.
Right.
So we just have to focus on the difference in that. But now in this whole globalism and in this type of world where they're trying to create this one and all people heaped on, like we've been in First Maccabees, I bring that out a lot on when I'm teaching, First Maccabees 1, where it says everybody would leave their customs and leave their cultures, right? And we'll probably bring that out as we continue on in this particular topic because it deals with that largely here. About the attitude towards Latinos with that. But they're going by this antiquated, made-up thing, which they did intentionally at some point down the line,
right,
to say that there's a difference, right? When we know that the differences really need to be categorized based on how the Most High made those differences,
right?
So it's funny, you know, I read comments sometimes and things like that that speak about, oh, well, you know, you guys are mixed with conquistadors. Well, guess what? Judah and you're mixed with Romans and Greeks too.
That's right.
You're mixed with white people too. So what does that really mean? What does that really mean?
Nothing.
You're falling into the hands of this, all right? And look what it also says. Thank you for bringing that out, producer. It says race is the fact of dividing people or people being divided into such groups. So it's really just their method to continue to create divisions. And in doing so, those divisions aren't biblical because Hispanics and blacks should be united. Hispanics and indigenous, right, and all those scattered should be united.
Right.
So when they do those things with those classifications and that stuff like that, this is the type of things that you get. Thank you, sister, for calling in. I know you're watching from New York. I know Rockland County. When I thought I was going to stay in New York, I wanted to move to Rockland County, but it got real expensive because everybody moved up there. And I know exactly what you're talking about with the Northern Kingdom movement because it started with, like, Port Chester. And then, like, they're going further and further up as they come in New York, like, you know, by and large, coming up there. And a lot of big Mexican community in New York.
Oh, praise.
Yeah, like,
yes.
Up there. Thank you, sister,
and
for calling in.
I wanted to bring something to your attention. If you saw it on TikTok, where the Latino woman was going into a church, and they accused her of bringing in weed when she was bringing in cilantro for her soup dish that she was bringing for the potluck. I don't know if you saw that.
That's heavy.
It
kind of
went viral.
I did not see that. I would like to see that. And that goes perfect with what we're going to continue to break down here, all right, as we get into these classifications and things like that, all right? Because that goes into the and I'm going to say it, but it still needs to be explained. The ignored racism of racism against Latinos and why it's ignored is because they don't necessarily do it in the overt way of skin color and features and things like that, right? Because a majority of so-called Latinos do look very similar to them, even though we've just established that they see us as a non-white group, all right? What it really boils down to is that they try to say that it's behaviors that they don't like and not the race and not the people. So when you use that example of the cilantro and saying it's weed, no, an Italian person bringing in parsley would not have been accused
not
of that.
Not at all.
Right.
They do it because in their mind, that's racist. But it's done in such a different way that it's looked at different. All right, so thank you for the call again, sis. We're going to continue to read on to try to get through some of this. Definitely appreciate the interaction.
Okay, thank you.
And if you out there, do not be afraid to call in, all right? That stuff adds value to the show. It's good for the engagement, all right?
For thought.
Re-emphasizing, there's a shift from old-fashioned biological racism, right, overtly, because they still do it in the categories, like the sister just brought out on the call, right? To racial resentment, right? Meaning it changed the ways in which racism directed toward African Americans is expressed among whites. What separates it from racial resentment targeted at African Americans, right? Meaning this is so it's similar, but where it's unique is that it's how, when it comes to Latinos, it's grounded in the historical perception of Latinos rather than a shift in norms of equality. Whites' negative attitudes about Latinos, comment about the cilantro, are grounded in concerns about language, culture, immigration, criminality, which is why they thought it was weed, all right, and country of origin. And they have always been. We thought that a new measure of whites' animus toward Latinos that captured this could help explain some important phenomena in American politics. And I put Exodus 1 and 8 here because it says they are concerned about language, culture, immigration, meaning they're concerned about us as a people. Let's read that real quick. Because the same way the Egyptians dealt with us, that's the same way that Esau is dealing with us today.
That's right. This is the book of Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph.
Come on.
And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel.
Behold, these Latinos, these immigrants, these Mexicans, come on.
Are more and mightier than we.
Right, and they say that in subtle ways.
Right.
But they won't say it mightier as an exhortation. What they're saying is they got a lot of gangs.
Right.
They got MS-13. They got drug cartels. They basically got private armies.
Right. You're not going into this neighborhood.
Right. Come on.
Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply.
So let's create policies that'll discourage them from coming here, that'll discourage them from taking a foothold in here. Let's build policies that forces them to assimilate. And if they don't assimilate, and we're not going to get to it today. I got some quotes in here and stuff like that that's going to show you their sentiment and stuff like that. So this show today is just kind of setting the foundation for what we're going to be bringing out over the next several weeks. Like I said, I'll probably take a small pause
for Thanksgiving
because, you know, every year I like to get on that, right? I got to remind people about
that.
That's right.
Yep.
Okay,
and
you
it's
know,
a Northern Kingdom thing, too.
Right? And it's a Northern Kingdom thing as well. Yep. So I got to emphasize that. Just like Columbus Day, I like to mention it. You know, I mean, I might not do a whole show on it, but I like to mention those things when that comes out. All right,
right.
But we got some heavy stuff here that goes into the psychology of this racism. And like I said, I think it's so important to realize that because it's so easy for many of us to this place being polluted as it is, like you read in Micah. Is deceptive for us that it's a place of rest for us.
Right.
And that's how they present it.
Right.
You know, that's how they present it to us that, you know, you can come here and so long as you put off anything that you are and become like us,
take off your nation and
to the point that you forget your nation and your people, you'll be accepted here. And in reality, that's not even true because they still have that animus towards
us.
Right.
Still
right?
Go back to Africa,
right.
Go back to Mexico.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So read the top of verse 10 again.
Verse 10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land.
Right, so it's letting you know this is their concerns. We just read that it says their negative attitudes about Latinos, and it is also their negative attitudes about so-called blacks. Yeah. But, you know, there's going to be overlap, but my emphasis is the whole Latino piece here, is that they're concerned. Hey, and language is a big one. And I'm going to tell you, language and culture, and I'm not going to harp on it too long, but that permeates even in Israel, because it's two Benjavites speaking the way they speak. I've seen Israelites not have a problem with that. But if it's so-called Northern Kingdom speaking, because you have these things that you might have experienced with Northern Kingdom in the world, you still have in your spirit this preconceived differences and notions, you're up in arms that they're speaking in their regular language. Do you not realize how you being? Like the soul? Now, the scripture does have a provision for that, but it talks about when teaching is being done.
Right.
And how you should have a translator.
Right.
If two people are speaking their, like, okay, let's say it was Hebrew. Let's say some of us are practicing Hebrew, right?
Right.
And I'm talking Hebrew to you just to practice my Hebrew casually. Why would anybody be offended by that? It's rooted in this sentiment that it's so strong.
Right.
This anti-Latino thing that it manifests itself with Southern Kingdom towards Northern Kingdom in language. And cultural differences. Because though we have similarities, if you look for them,
right,
in how we were raised and things and stuff like that, there are differences in how we are culturally.
Right.
But where does that culture extend from? You're talking about the culture that was kind of put on us and that got evolved and has rudiments of the world mixed in it.
Right.
Because the reality is our real culture that we're all learning to embrace again, and will always be tainted to the day Christ returns,
right,
is the culture that we have in the Bible.
That's right.
So while, you know, we might have celebrated certain worldly holidays different or dealt with certain family gatherings a certain way, now in this walk, our culture is we're keeping a new moon together that's coming up, right? We're keeping Feast of Dedication, Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
And it's interesting because I think sometimes I do think it comes from a place of animosity, even amongst brothers and sisters that are with us here with those differences. But I also understand, and this is why I'm so passionate about bringing this out over the next few episodes, Lord's will, is that it comes from a deeply planted psychological thing, like the movie Inception.
Yeah.
Over the course of years, they've planted this in our people so much that even as you're walking in this repentance, you'll have those schisms there. And the Bible prepares us for all of that. If you're really in the spirit when you read the scriptures, nothing should surprise you that comes out in Israel. But but invariably people are.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was written, it's because it was happening.
It happened, yep.
And not just that it happened and that we do it, that it would happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So it alarms me when there's offenses, when there's schisms, when there's different things like that, that people are so in shock and surprise that those things happen.
Yeah.
Where if you were really rooted in your walk, and I understand getting rooted takes time,
right?
Bishop Yalos, I was bringing out a good point in the excerpt that he sent me of a class he recently did. And it was going into more like how, you know, you don't want to put people necessarily on a pedestal, but there's also that respect and reverence that does need to be there for those people. And what happens behind that is that in the beginning, as people are learning to be rooted on their own and building their own foundation, those leaders and teachers, whether it's intentional or not, become a source of supply in that foundation and rooting. It's like a gardener tending to the, you know, like if you deal with gardening, right? You get the baby or you get the seedling, right? And until it doesn't do what it do on its own until it's a mature plant,
right?
And then even then, it still takes some things that you got to do. But at the very beginning, right, you won't put a seedling out into the elements. You start it at home, right, in the house. You water it, whatever, till it takes a certain root. Then you bring it out there and you do stuff with it. You know, you set certain things up to help support it,
right?
If you're dealing with tomatoes or whatever, they have those sticks for certain things so that it could grow up on that to hold it up.
To support it.
Right. So I say all that. I'm not trying to digress. Is that I understand where some of this comes from. And then in defensiveness, as most people carnally are, and we all are carnal, right? Galatians 5:17, contrary one to the other, the spirit and the flesh.
Right.
These things manifest themselves, and then it becomes a thing of, well, no, in the Northern Kingdom, you know how Northern Kingdom is. That shouldn't even be a topic, because I can say you know how Southern Kingdom is.
Right.
And like I said, it's different for me having grown up in New York City because white people were not my best friends.
Right.
You know, I grew up with other so-called Hispanics and other blacks. And some of my closest friends were so-called African-American. And I don't say that to say I have black friends. That's just the way it was.
Right.
I got some black boots.
You got some black boots. Yeah. That's just the way it was. So I understand where that comes from. And I also hope that I know that everything is going to always be edifying, but I also hope that this helps maybe in that regard as we break this down to understand that this is all a construct that they put into play.
Right.
And when you fall into those traps, you fall into that yourselves as well, right? So it's grounded in concerns about language, culture, immigration, criminality, and country of origin. And they always have been, all right? So it says, he talks about a little bit here, because I want to get into, we'll probably read, I'm not going to get to read the article, I don't think. We'll probably read the some of the definitions of some of these terms. It says, given this intuition, we started trying to develop the measure. So he talks a little bit about how he created this measure, all right, of Latino racism, ethnicism, right? So it's racism and ethnicism. It's racism when it comes to things like skin color, features, and appearance, and it's ethnicism when it comes to these other concerns about language, culture, criminality, and things like that. Conceptually, LRE recognizes that whites are likely to conflate race and ethnicity with race-neutral behaviors, and we're going to deal with those terms when thinking about Latinos. As such, LRE contains items that refer to the legacy of immigration, linguistic differences, and specific beliefs whites may hold about Latinos. Let's get Deuteronomy 28:37. I'll tell you what their specific beliefs are. Yael said, I got a black gun. Hey, you know what? It is Christian. At the end of the day, Christianity is at the forefront of all this stuff. Man. That's how they were able to get that stuff into our damn heads so strongly, right? Like, right. like Christianity takes the lead on all of it, even when it's not so evident that there's a denomination involved.
Right.
It's a Christian mindset, right? I mean, a lot of these don't tread on me. They tell you it's a Christian country and all this, you know, but, you know, what does that really mean? It doesn't have weight. It's not Christian from the perspective of the Bible.
Right,
it's what they think and what they mean. Basically, so long as it's white, it's right.
All right,
as long as he said it. Like I've often said before, the reason they're so okay in Christian churches with accepting you into their churches now in these days, some of them, not all, is because in their minds, the kingdom of heaven is a white Jesus with a white king and a white God, and they're still going to be on top.
Right, that's right.
You'll be let in, but you're not going to be equal. That's why some of them are right with that. Hey, and we're going to deal with that whole thing of just because they do say they have black friends and even black family, right? And I'm going, there's this new thing where they talk about, what is the term they use? I had to look it up. It was at a restaurant. And, like, you know, you're chatting with the waitress or whatever, and I forgot, well, it was a restaurant or something. And she was like, is it mixed family? Is that what they say? There's a term that they're using now when it's like white and black together, or white and Hispanic together.
Producer,
so it's not interracial. They say something about a blended family.
Blended
that's
family,
the term.
Yeah.
Have you heard that term?
Yeah, I've heard that. Yep.
They're using this term now, blended family. They use it. Can we look up blended family? I don't want to digress, but stuff comes up and we gotta adjust it. Can we look up blended family? I don't know if some of y'all have heard this term. The viewers.
Got a color TV.
Hey, we're going to deal with that, though. We're going to show you how that sentiment and what they say actually proves even more that they racist.
Right.
Right. So blended. They don't mean it as step-pop and step-mom. Right. It's not the Brady Bunch they're talking about.
Right.
Right. So is there another definition of it? Because that's Google. What does it say of her? Yeah, it's not. So that's the regular definition. But the way that I've experienced it and people speaking to me when they say a blended family, it's not the Brady Bunch, right? Because if you remember the Brady Bunch, it was he had three boys, she had three girls.
And they brought,
And they all grew up together. And we knew they
were the Brady Bunch.
It's true. We somehow formed the family. And today, we go to Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch.
It's starting to evolve to mean different races now.
Yep.
So they're not saying interracial, because that's like not a PC word. They're saying blended. They're saying blended. All right. Right. I thought it was step parent. When I grew up, it was step parents or step children. All right. Right. Yeah. They're not going to give us. They're not going to give us the definition.
They tried there. We were talking about a biological.
Yeah. But they won't. They won't say what it is. All right. So we got a caller. Give me some background of the caller first.
Hey, the brother had a question about I forgot. I'm sorry. I'm over here. It's a sincere question.
Okay. Is it related to the topic?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Shalom, caller. What's your name? Welcome to the show.
Shalom, Capitan. This is Brother Reuel out of Riverside.
Hey, Shalom, brother.
I wanted
Shalom.
To make an Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
I just wanted to make a quick emphasis on who first started off that racist by phenotypes, you know what I'm saying? It was a German named Johann F. Blumenbach.
He
was born in
1752. I've heard that name.
Yeah, he was born in 1752, died in 1840. It's written, you find it in the book of From Babylon to Timbuktu by Rudolf R. Windsor. Mm. And I just want to emphasize that, you know, because that's really what a lot of us, even between Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, is dealing with. It's the whole phenotype thing. Well, you know, we say Ephraim is the cake unturned, and we still get, and the world still get caught up in that. Well, he's light-skinned, or he's dark-skinned and all that. I'm a dark-skinned Northern Kingdom from Panama, so I can understand that type of thing, you know.
Yeah,
and always related with all the
Latinos. We experience that even, like the lights against the dark. So it's not even like a Northern and Southern Kingdom thing. That phenotype stuff is so heavy that it even integrates into certain families. Like sometimes the light child isn't treated as good as the dark, or the dark's not treated as good as the light. It'll happen within a straight, like it'll be your direct brother or sister. And that stuff kind of manifests itself. Yep.
Indeed.
Right. All praises.
And one more
all
thing. Captain, just real quick. I don't know if you're going to emphasize later on about the language barriers as well, that, you know, because I don't speak Spanish fluently anymore. I came here in 1982 as a child, but that can be a barrier between us too, because some lighter skin or whatever may not believe that you're Northern Kingdom because you're not fluent in the language.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted
to be. It's frowned upon. There's like an elitist thing, like if you're not fluent or you're not able to speak the language, or like you're less of you know, a Panamanian or Puerto Rican or whatever it is, like you're less than that because you're Spanish. Right. Hey, and I tell you what that fosters is a lack of confidence for you to even work on picking up the language at times because of that type of sentiment. And then if you really think about it, and I've always laughed about this, is all this pride in that, and that's still a bastard tongue that was forced on us.
Right, right.
And once upon a time, as they gave their edicts and decrees before they massacred us, was done in that language. Mm-hmm. So it was a strange language to all of us at one time.
Right.
The relevance and the significance, which is not lost on me, even though I say what I just said, is that is the tongues that our people are speaking today. And like you read in Isaiah 28, where it talks about in another tongue and stammering lips, meaning that out of necessity you will have to have certain people that can speak that, to speak to the people and teach the people. But you 1,000% on point with that. I appreciate you calling in with both those comments. Thank you, Brother Ruel. I appreciate that.
All praise.
Thank you, Captain. All right.
Shalom, sir. Shalom. Right. So he brings out how this Johann, whatever the hell his name was, brings out in 1752. But what's interesting is that was the guy that they chose to articulate it. They had these ruminations in their mind about these differences prior to that. You see that in the movie Django, where he breaks down the skull and he says, see, you guys have a little thing here.
Yeah.
He says, because why wouldn't you raise up against these people? Why wouldn't, as strong as you are? He said, because you have this thing here that makes you inferior, so on and so forth. And that's when they started with those type of phenotypes and things like that, and those differences, right? So all praises. Definitely, we have some good calls in tonight. So let me get Deuteronomy 28:37, right? Because it says there's specific beliefs whites may hold about Latinos. Come on.
This is the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 37.
Hold on one second. I read what those beliefs were, the paragraph up, when they said they have ideas, they have concerns about language, culture, immigration, criminality, country of origin,
That's like when Trump said, why do we get people from shithole countries?
Right.
Excuse me. Why don't we get them from, you know, like Sweden and stuff like that? Why are we getting people from these crap countries,
right,
basically? Uh-huh. Right? This is where their thoughts are. Come on.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 37.
Freedom!
And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword.
Right. So it says we would become things outside of what we really are. We would be an astonishment. It's the way they look at us. Look, they're animals. Look at them. They're all criminals. They're this, that, and the other, right? A proverb, that's those stereotypes, and a byword is being called outside of what we are. Not being called Israelites is a byword. Having the last name of your slave masters is a byword,
right?
Right? Come on.
Among all nations, whither the Lord shall send lead thee.
And not just whites. This goes into the comment where it says, proverbs for them are specific beliefs that they hold about us. Specific beliefs that they hold about us. And that's those beliefs. We're starting to break that down and bring that stuff out. Hey, I do got to stop 1 second here. Irene Lamont says, my brother always made fun of me. They call me the milkman's child. The down skin of being alive. Let me tell you something. In humor, I don't know if y'all know. I'm not sure if you're new or how much you follow IUIC. If you're familiar with Captain Avio, the Black Rhino. All right. I've known that man 23 years.
Wow.
23 years from before the troop. And I used to joke with him that he was the milkman's son, but he's dark, not light. I used to joke with him that he's the milkman's son.
I've heard
about that. Goodness. Man, oh, man. He said Jesus don't care about race. Can we put we're not sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel? I'll give that much credence to it, and then bye bye. All right.
How is this?
Okay.
Nice try.
Nice try. He said, "What a coat, Peter Purcell."
Because we bringing out the truth.
If you Israel, repent, Peter.
That's right.
If you the devil to buy the speaks of, bye. Give me that. And he said, "Christ don't care about race." Let's read this.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 15 and verse 24.
Freedom!
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
I don't know. Now, obviously, there's more context to all that, when and how he says that. But that don't sound like he there for all people. That don't sound like he don't care about race.
That's right.
Oh, that sounds like he talking all the way about race. Be quiet. Be quiet.
Back to Deuteronomy 28.
Yep. Back to Deuteronomy. So we've had Deuteronomy 28. So it says our first approach was to use. No, I don't want to read that. The results were clear. LRE is empirically distinct from ethnocentrism, racial resentment, stereotypes of Latinos, cultural preferences, partisanship, and ideology. He said they were onto something. So he's saying that basically as we read through this book, the data that they collected, although it's based on all these different, and these are all different forms of racism, ethnocentrism, racial resentment, stereotypes. That's what we read in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28:37, when it says astonishment, proverb, and byword, covers all these academic terms that they're using here when it speaks about this, right? Cultural preferences, partisanship, and ideology. Partisanship is being partial, all right? That means your preference, right? Same thing. It says they were on to something, all right? Let me see if I want to jump before I get into some, because we do have some time to go over the Wikipedia stuff, but we won't be able to do the rest of the book today. Let's see. Let's jump to the page on the preface where it says Donald Trump's campaign. It says, did you get it yet? It should be the next page. I think I sent them in order. When I take the pictures, I got to make sure my nails don't look dirty and stuff. People got to think I'm dirty.
Come on, man.
I don't know. I'll be looking at people's nails and stuff like that and their teeth, too. Yes, right. Donald Trump's campaign in 2016 jump-started our efforts. Trump's rhetoric and policies, made it evident that whites' attitudes about Latinos was going to be a central concern of the 2016 campaign. You know how it became evident? Because like I said earlier, they responded to him.
That's right.
They responded to him. They went from, even people in his own party when he was a candidate, they went from no way, no how, to they responded to him, bro. So it says, we again put a partial LRE scale,
on the 2016 CCES. More importantly, the campaign made it clear that how whites' animus toward Latinos shaped politics was a bigger question than we initially intended to explore. So they, basically, like I had brought out, him coming on the scene, the Most High setting up the basis of men, there was a catalyst. From a spiritual perspective, that was a catalyst for our people.
Yeah.
They're saying just from their research, so even they can acknowledge right. that it was significant right. that he was raised up into office.
Chosen. Yeah.
He says President Trump tied his rhetoric about Latinos to more than just immigration. He reinforced the existing tropes, Deuteronomy 20:37, the Proverbs, the bywords, right?
Mm-hmm.
Connecting Latinos with crime and with election fraud. All right, let me get John 1:46. I thought of this when I read this.
This is the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 46.
Bring it out!
And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?
Mm-hmm.
Philip saith unto him, Come and see.
Right. So the point that I want from that, right, and that was among Israel that they were saying that,
right.
he's letting you know that's what Trump was basically saying. He reinforced existing things, basically saying they're all no good.
Yeah.
Can anything good come out of Mexico?
Right.
Can anything good come out of this caravan? Remember the caravan?
Right.
The
right.
caravan. The caravan is coming.
Bro,
like if it was the British army coming
right.
to whoop they behind for saying the hell with you, king, whatever the hell the king was at the time.
Wow. Dang. Caravan.
The caravan. Bro, a lot of people, you got short memories. You forget that
right.
thing.
Right.
That thing was in the news for a week. Bro, you had the helicopters there
right.
seeing it.
Right.
All them helicopters, the caravan suffering. You don't think they could have, like, dropped some food to them, some water, something?
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? Well, they were walking with chancletas, right? Slippers, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Just like
yeah,
shower shoes.
Right.
Just walking up from like Central, walking through the jungles of
right.
Central America
yeah.
to try to get up over here. And then have your children taken from you.
Right.
Well, and then, you know, we wicked as hell, especially when we without these commandments, to then have people of our own people
our
messing
people.
With people in there,
yeah.
right? All types of crazy. Well, it's the curses. It's the curses. So it says, this was basically what Trump was rolling with. It says, we were finishing the final details of this manuscript, for instance. This is what he told a young group of conservatives. And when they're saying all of this stuff, and those illegals, and I made a note here, it wasn't just illegals, because we read that even U.S. citizens were getting in the mix and locked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get out and vote, because they vote anyway, right? So this goes into that thing where it's not that... general racism. It's not that old-fashioned racism.
Right.
They try to make it about assimilation and policy, right? They try to make it race neutral.
Right.
But in their attempts to make it race neutral,
yeah.
we know that they're applying those stereotypes, those
mm-hmm.
proverbs,
mm-hmm.
those astonishments that you read in Deuteronomy 20:37.
They have to get more crafty every time they do
yes.
that.
So it says, and then those illegals get out and vote because they vote anyway. Don't kid yourself. Those numbers in California and numerous other states, they're rigged. They've got people voting that shouldn't be voting. They vote many times, not just twice, not just three times. It's like a circle. They come back and they put on a new hat on. They come back, they put a new shirt on. And in many cases, they don't even do that. You know what's going on. It's a rigged deal. And now they can say it's not, even though he mentions the illegals, even though he goes on and on about Latinos,
mm-hmm.
he thinks he's being neutral by making it about illegal voting.
Oh, right.
And that ain't even the case, man, because a lot of them that come over here, man, they just too busy on the farm or
right.
working in the kitchen or
right.
whatever construction job
right.
they got on the low.
Yeah, right. About, yeah.
Right? Whatever nanny job they got,
housekeeping,
scrubbing floors
yeah,
and things
right.
like I'm not saying they all come that way, but when you're illegal, you
got to find different.
Oh, they're voting, really?
Right.
So in one breath, they try to say, no, it's not about their race. But in the other, they're not saying white people do that. And
right.
they do.
Yeah, they do.
Legal citizens do that type of stuff.
Jeez.
All right? So it says, these type of cues lead us to conclude that we needed a fuller, richer exploration. All right, so I want to skip that. And I think that's all I got on the preface. And I'm going to go into some of the definitions a little bit that I had with the Wikipedia. All right? Let's bring some of that up.
Not the encyclopedia.
Okay. Let's start with Let's start with the racial resentment scale. I'm going to give a little intro into that. Because we spoke about racial resentment. And I hope I have all my definitions here. My intent was, as we read this article, some stuff I didn't post, that we would just click on it. All right. So there's apparently there's a racial resentment scale. And it's a measure of symbolic racism, which we're going to get into in a moment. It was created by Donald Kinder, I suppose it's a Semitemite, and Lynn M. Sanders, for the American National Election Studies in the 1980s. It has been considered the dominant measure of symbolic racism since its inception. So in order for me to explain this racial resentment scale more, we must understand what symbolic racism is. So let's bring up symbolic racism. Symbolic racism, also known as modern-day symbolic racism, modern racism, symbolic prejudice, and racial resentment. Right. Remember, we read that term in the book.
Yes.
He says it shifted from old-fashioned racism to racial resentment. Right. So even though the phenotypes are still in their head, they don't speak about it from phenotypes no more. Now they try to deal with the characterizations that they've given us. All right. It's a coherent belief system. And you know what's so heavy? I glazed over that when we read it about belief systems in the book. When it becomes a belief system, that's something that's ingrained in you. It's not a thought process. It's not another way to say that's like an ideology. Muslims, they're not afraid of death, the radical ones, right? Because their ideology is so ingrained in them. Because you would say, damn, how would a man run up on somebody and blow himself up just to kill some people? Because it was so ingrained in them, they believe that. I mean, they got listen, we know that Islam is basically a copy off of the Bible, but they got some faith in that thing, right?
Yeah,
some people in Israel have a measure. I'm not saying to kill themselves and be terroristic, not by any measure. Our warfare is spiritual. But the level of belief you have to do something like that, the conviction that you have, mm-hmm. just like Christ said for us, if you have faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mustard seed being small, I did a whole class on this. We really got to take a step back and realize how I don't think faith is one of those things that you need to try to boast about or be proud of.
Right.
Because the way Christ broke it down, all of us have opportunity for our faith to be increased.
That's right.
All of us have opportunity for our faith to be increased. Right. And that's why it's challenged and tried at different times to see where you're at with that thing. But anyway, it's a belief system. And it says that belief system reflects an underlying one-dimensional prejudice towards any ethnicity. These beliefs include the stereotype that black people are morally inferior to white people. This falls under racial resentment. And the white people are racist, right? So they try to throw the rights in there, but they are racist, right? I mean, we know biblically not a one of them is right, right? Of course, they're going to try to have the dialogue academically that, you know, it goes both ways,
yeah.
Right? And that black people violate traditional white American values, which they put as, such as hard work and independence, right? Let's click on that. I didn't click on that, the white American values. Let me see what that says a little bit. What are these white American values that they're talking about?
It doesn't highlight values. Just white.
Let's click.
It broke down into two words.
It says white Americans. Damn, okay.
Yeah. It's separated.
Damn. That would have been nice.
Yeah,
they won't put that much info out there.
No.
They can put that out there. All right. So white American values. The fact that, you know, values should be values, right? But then they got white American values, such as hard work and independence. The fact that they would even write that,
right.
that's white American values.
Right.
The Bible teaches us. It says hate not husbandry or laborious work.
Right.
Right. And husbandry doesn't mean being a husband. That's going into farming because at the time it was agricultural. All right. Or laborious work. All right. It says, such as hard work and independence. We believe in independence. The scripture tells you owe no man anything.
Right.
Right? Clear your debts.
Right. Hard work. Black people didn't become lazy until we stopped working for free.
Right. You be lazy, too, if you weren't getting compensated for that stuff. So it says, this all falls under racial resentment, right? And these are beliefs. This isn't what they think. This is ingrained in them, all right? And now it mentions black here because, again, Latino racism is ignored.
Right.
But the same racial resentment is applied to Latinos. We just read a couple of examples of
it.
It says, such as hard work and independence. However, symbolic racism is more of a general term than it is one specifically related to prejudice towards black people. These beliefs may cause the subject to discriminate against black people and to justify this discrimination. That's the crux of racial resentment. They will discriminate, but then justify it by saying things like, I got a black friend. I got, I'm not racist. I have a blended family. I have this. I have that. Right? Some people do not view symbolic racism as prejudice since it is not linked directly to race. And that's them getting into semantics, right? Because we read that race is the old school racism, right? Features and skin color. Right. But is indirectly linked through social and political issues. And that's the crux of it, because that's how you see the racism prevalent today. That is a evolved racism. And I think that comedian that we had put up that one time on the show where he said reverse racism doesn't exist, because essentially you would, I mean, he said it much funnier. He said essentially you would have to have authority to inflict some institutionalized racism on it. And that's what this is talking about. When it's linked to social and political issues, who are the ones that really have the power to move things socially and politically, right? Our power comes with this. We can move things socially, right, based on this.
Right.
And that's what we do through the Spirit of the Most High in Christ,
right,
and trying to move our people socially together, community, repentance, right?
Right?
Coming out of those mindsets, you know, eliminating those strongholds and stumbling blocks. But this goes to show you that it is very much one-sided, because, you know, the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. So it says David O. Sears and P.J. Henry characterize symbolic racism as the expression or endorsement of four specific themes or beliefs. So this is how they categorize it. And when I read black people here, I want you to understand, when you look at this book, the topic and the title of the show is Ignored Racism, White Animus Toward Latinos.
Yeah.
All right. Just reading this shows you how it's ignored. Even though we just read that it says it may cause the subject that it's not specifically related to prejudice towards black people, mm-hmm, but they're going to make their beliefs based on black people. And again, that's all by design. It's all part of their process, right? So it says these are the four specific themes or beliefs that characterize symbolic racism. This is what they call symbolic racism. Mm-hmm. Black people no longer face much prejudice or discrimination. The mere denial of the fact that we're – so even when – see, this is why it can sting a little bit when you got so-called blacks saying Latinos don't experience racism, especially those of us who experience it and know it. Mm-hmm. Same way you feel when white people say you don't experience racism,
that's
how so-called Latino feels about experiencing racism.
Yeah.
Bruh.
The failure of black people to progress results from their unwillingness to work hard enough. You'll have some in some circles that say Latinos work hard, but then they'll say we're lazy – kind of after the fact, because of our culture and our thing. We like to drink and eat to excess. We like to party. Well, all Israel is a festive people, right? I mean, you know, that's characteristic of us. Black people are demanding too much too fast.
Wow.
Black people have gotten more than they deserve. So those are the four tenets of this symbolic racism. And then based on those, if you look at those four, whenever somebody says a comment that they're not racist, but then expresses any views that are somewhat related to this, then you're racist.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And you're racist.
Right.
Symbolic racism is a form of modern implicit racism, right? So I'm just going to – let's just highlight that, right?
And also, you can tell that they're racist by how they can say we are a certain – you know, we can,
like, they're the authority,
right?
Like they can just say that this is what we are.
You're not hardworking. You don't work.
And it's like, what experience do you really have with us?
Yeah.
And again, when we read the book, it talks about that too. Like, it's easy for them to say that they don't experience that because they don't look at. See, this is when I read the article, which we won't read today. We, as Israel, Northern and Southern Kingdom, right? We tend to look at things in terms of we. When it comes to us and that reality of racism, because we've experienced it and lived it together in one measure or another.
Right.
Right. Like I said, in these times, because of my, what they call white passing, I may not have experienced as much, although I can tell you, I have experienced based on features and stuff like that, because, you know, anybody who really knows, I don't look like your middle American white person, right? There's an unfamiliarity with certain types of Hispanics, and there's this stereotype amongst our people of how Hispanics should look. I mean, I go to New York, there ain't nobody in New York that thinks I'm white.
Right.
They know that I'm Puerto Rican,
or something of that ilk, because there's a familiarity with that exposure to that. My point being, when you go into this, as far as that, there's this thing that we deal in terms of we, because we experience it and we live it. So when we see, you know, a Latino being unjustly killed, a so-called black being unjust, we can relate to that and say, damn, that could be my kid. That could be me on a pullover stop. Since they don't live that because of the benefits, even if they are not racist,
right.
Since they don't live that because of the benefits of them being the rulers of this earth,
white
right?
Privilege.
Right. The white privilege, right? They benefited from it whether they want it or not.
Right.
They don't look at it and they can't give credence to what we're really going through. And then we know spiritually it's in their bones not to anyway, so they don't really give a crap. All right? So what's this say here? I'm curious. Implicit racism. So it's also called aversive racism. It's a theory proposed by these people according to which negative evaluations of racial ethnic minorities are realized by a persistent avoidance of interaction. So that's exactly what we just spoke about. Okay, good. With other racial and ethnic groups. So basically, they don't have the exposure. They don't have the experience in that outside of what they see in the media and what they learned growing up and what they heard from their parents, right? Of the white talk that their parents had with them, right? Versus the black or Hispanic talk we have to have with our children and how it's different and things like that. And in some way, shape, or form, I haven't had it as a full-length talk. I've been having to have that conversation with my daughter lately because she's starting to see stuff, and I have to tell her, hey, you have to understand there's people out there that they're not going to like you just because, you know, I said, you're an Israelite. I said, but, you know, what they're going to know you as is a Puerto Rican or a Hispanic. And,
right.
you know, they're going to see those sort of things. I said, and just based on that, then she's like, why? I said, because that's what's in them. There's not much I can tell you. That's just the way it is. That's the way their parents raise them,
right.
you know? And I have to make that distinction that, you know, you can be school friends with them, but, you know, something the white parents be coming up and, hey, you know, she's having this and, you know, we're having a little gathering. And I'm like, yeah,
birthday
okay.
Party.
Yeah, yeah. It might not even be that. They'd be like, yeah, the girls want to have a little gathering. And like, yeah, no.
Right.
You know, and I got to explain that stuff. So it's a symbolic racism is a form of modern implicit racism. And it is more subtle and indirect than more overt forms of racism, which is that old school skin feature phenotype stuff. The example he gives here is such as Jim Crow laws, right? That's overt racism, right? Or black codes, right? And stuff like that. I mentioned the no Negroes, no Latinos, no dogs, no blacks, right? That's overt racism, right? The symbolic, this implicit racism is that subtle stuff, which is those four tenets that we read and how it drives policy and how it drives social movements around that stuff. As symbolic racism develops through socialization, and we've spoken about socialization. Let's just read that real quick, highlight it. In sociology, socialization is the process of internalizing. So when you internalize something, I mentioned the movie Inception, it becomes a belief, the norms and ideologies of society. So those white American values, the white rulership, the everything being seen through white people's lens,
right?
They want to be everybody. They are everybody, right? Man, there's one part when we read in the article, they said it's so bad when you think about that socialization piece that there was some controversy apparently around that time when the Lord of the Rings was coming out because they were like, damn, why there's so many black white people and no black people in the cast of Lord of the Rings? And they were saying they wanted it to be historically accurate. Do you get that Lord of the Rings is a fictional book?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
There is no, there was never a Middle Earth.
Right.
There's no Gandalf. There's no Frodo.
No Shire.
There's no hobbits and shires.
It's like Santa Claus.
Their defense for not diversifying the cast was they wanted it to be historically accurate.
Right.
The writer of the article, when we read the article, Lord's will, next time we jump on this topic, says, even in fake shit, they want it to be white.
Yeah, right. Yep.
So that's socialization in a nutshell.
Come
we don't got to read
man.
The rest of that.
Right.
Right. And we went over that a little bit on the show. I think we did it on the Saturday show. Officer Shy was asking me to bring it back out. I got my sociology textbook, and we go into the different agents of socialization. So now that we have, like, the larger platform, you know, because Saturday's obviously a little lower viewership, but if we have the larger platform, I gotta run that back at some point.
That's crazy.
And see how we socialize and stuff like
that's,
that. So.
That's just like that clip of what's her name that talked about Santa Claus and Jesus.
Yeah, Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly.
Yeah. And we went out there. And,
yeah.
blasted Fox, the Fox News building and stuff like that. And we knew she wasn't going to be up there on a freaking Saturday. We went over there because we wanted to take advantage of that. It was a hot topic at the time. And, you know, we used it for the social media and stuff like that. Hey, and a lot of people, that video is like one of the more popular videos like IUSC has done, where we go out there and we talk about that stuff. So it says, so symbolic racism develops through socialization, meaning because of the norms of society, policy, social movements, it's picked up. And it's even picked up by some of our own people.
Right.
And its processes occur without conscious awareness. That's the danger of socialization. And they do that through church, the school system, social media, the media, news, literature. Like, that's all the different agents of socialization. Yep. An individual with symbolically racist beliefs may genuinely oppose racism and believe they are not racist. Symbolic racism is perhaps the most prevalent contemporary, meaning modern, form of racism. The concept of symbolic racism has been criticized for being inconsistent in measurement and concept over time. Those are the same people who basically say they're not racist.
Yep.
New experiments also provide evidence that responses do not differ when groups other than African Americans are referenced. So that's their way of acknowledging the ignored racism, the white animus toward Latinos.
Mm.
That it does not, the racism doesn't change.
Right.
All right? But we're going to read later. I'm going to show you. They talk about Italian immigrants. They talk about Irish immigrants.
Uh-huh.
They even talk about Japanese immigrants.
Oh, bring it out.
And their rationale as to why they don't feel the way about them. I'm just teasing it. I'm setting it up for the next episode. We get on that.
They got to stay tuned, y'all.
And we gonna go in on that, all right? We still got a lot to read on these. So, Officer Shy, do not lose these. I mean, they'll stay in the feed. So when I say bring these up, we're talking about this. Because like I said, we're gonna be spending some time on this for a little bit, all right? We're running up basically on the end of the show now, so I'm going to wind up cutting it there. I pray that y'all stay with this understanding and that. Y'all got any closing thoughts, anything you want to say on this? Y'all spoke a little. I mean, you should speak a little more. I know you're going to say, oh, man, but you were flowing. I don't want to. It looked like y'all were getting excited in the seats, you know. But.
I mean, give me Leviticus 26.
Go ahead. Okay, thank you. See.
Give me Leviticus 26, and this is the same thing that Christ was saying when he said you're going to be hated of all nations. 26 and verse, I think it's 17.
Hey, okay. Before you read that real quick, so Yael makes the comment, and this is exactly what we just read about the symbolic racism, Soldier Yael. It says, many Southern Kingdom brothers and sisters, especially in the South, he says, have an inbred prejudice against Northern Kingdom based on ignorance, and I find it very interesting. And it's based on socialization and this very subject that we're speaking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, officer. Bring out your script. Stay with us, brothers and sisters. Brother's going to bring out a script here.
This is the book of Leviticus, chapter 26 and verse 17.
And the reason I'm bringing this out is because this is – we always look at, you know, we're looking at the different tribes and the two kingdoms, right, separately. But we got to figure out how are we going to put us together, right? Because we don't – when we're looking at how we – here's going over how we're divided in how the other nations look at us when we're talking about ignored racism. They ignore certain types, or they make it different. But this is how we're going to be identified together. Go ahead.
This is the book of Leviticus, chapter 26 and verse 17.
Uh-huh.
And I will set my face against you,
uh-huh,
and ye shall be slain.
So we see that in history. We've been slain before our enemies, right? For 400 years plus, for 500 years plus, we've been slain before our enemies, right? Go ahead.
They that hate you shall reign over you.
They've been reigning over Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. So this is how we're going to put ourselves together. And we have to stop dividing those lines, because they're gonna separate us based off of how they've been treating us in captivity.
Bring it up.
Right? So we have to know how to – when we're on the streets, when we're teaching in these – while we're doing this, it's to show us that we the same people. We the same people. Go ahead.
And ye shall flee when none pursueth you.
All right. So that's all I wanted on that. But I just wanted to end it with that, because I know, you know, we've been talking about the differences – of racism.
Hey, and I want to tell you something. Perfect example before we boot his comments. Dathan McKnight, talk about this white man is not a descendant of Israel or any of his wives. He's not Northern or Southern
Kingdom.
There we go. Thank you for the real world example.
Biblical.
Right. All right. I don't know how you found us. I think that you think you found us. The Lord brought you here.
That's right.
Just to close out exactly what I just went over to show you that sort of thing that's going on right there. So all praise to the Most High.
That's right. Right.
Shalom to the haters.
That's
Shalom
right.
to the haters. We're going to get there, though. So it's a set number. It's a certain portion that's going to be there. You got anything? Closing thoughts?
No?
No? You good? Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, Saturday, all right, we had a replay last week. The Saturday show is back. We're changing the format of the Saturday show, all right? We're going to alternate between Spanish and English, okay?
Right.
So this Saturday, all right, we're going to have the Power Hour Plus en Español, all right?
Oh, brilliant.
So you can spread the word. It'll be a Spanish-speaking hour of power, all right? And then on the off week, we'll have some of the officers in here, and they'll continue on with the English show, all right? So we appreciate that continued support. I know some people aren't able to tune in on Saturday, different time zone stuff going on. We're also going to put those things up on YouTube so you can watch after the fact. You know, we want the spirit to move through these men. We're going to try to help develop these men so that they can be able to take the next steps behind us and, you know, be on these shows and do that sort of stuff, all right? So Saturday we'll have the Power Hour in Español, all right, this Saturday. The following week it'll be in English, right? And it's going to be hosted by the officers here in IUIC Phoenix, all right? So we appreciate your support in that regard, okay? And tune in next week, Lord's will, all right? Power Hour Plus.
That's
we'll
right.
do the Thanksgiving special,
right?
All right? And then we'll jump right back onto this white animus and this ignored racism topic as we continue on. Definitely appreciate all the support. I'm all praise to the Most High. I was glad to be back. And Lord's will, the Most High, continue to use each and every one of us as a vessel to bring this understanding out. All right, so y'all have a good night. Stay safe. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom, Israel. Most High Christ bless.
Oh, praise to the Most High.
Yeah. That book was heavy.
Jeez. Bro, I just started it.
Babylon, we are far. Solid. We got them on lock. God's chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
Israel is back.
You heathen youth are ready for our whip to crack.
Dang. Oh, like for real, I was leading up to the show. Like, damn, what am I going to move over? And the book is there. I took the book with me, the tabernacles, didn't read it. Something was moving me towards that.
You reading it now, though?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm reading it now. I'll read the next chapter in preparation. I might not get to it, but...
Yeah, to itemize it in a certain area.
Well, it's a thin book, bro. Like, you know, some of the chapters I might not go over, but, you know, I got to see what's in there.
Mm.
But, you know, he gets into it, man. He got some geographical data and different things like that. So I think it's an interesting topic, you know.